Welcome to episode 174 of the Better of Running podcast. My name's Chris Armstrong. I'm a run to PB coach, and I'm here for a really special Christmas catch up. Not just Zacha. I mean, we love Zacha. He's here as always, but we've got an extra special run to PB coach with something new, something different, something exciting, which Zacha has been working away on. But firstly, Zacha, mate, how are you?
I'm very good, Chriso. Yes, exciting times. I think Santa must have got our letter that and delivered a present early. That's
He's over-delivered. Something we can't often say about Santa, but he has absolutely outdone himself this time around.
Yes, it is festive season, mate. And how are you tracking?
Mate, I'm alive, which I'm happy about. It's hey, work's busy, running's busy. It's fun. It's fun, but definitely looking forward to a 4-day weekend coming up. Just for a bit of downtime, so.
Have you recovered from that 3K? We're going to get into that a little bit later because you ran a 3K in 35 degrees.
I have a lot of empathy for rotisserie chickens. Yeah, sort of, especially with Christmas coming up, and sort of feel a bit of solidarity for the old turkey that heads into the oven. So we can elaborate a bit more on that later. But yeah, I'm fully recovered, and it's interesting running in that temperature and then getting out and running, you know, because it has been pretty humid, pretty warm. I think most people have experienced that over the last couple of weeks, and then sort of turning around when it's 20 degrees in the morning, it's not that bad actually. So yeah, fresh perspectives, it's nice.
Mate, I am looking forward to doing a deep dive into that recap. But before we get there, yes, let's reveal the Christmas, early Christmas present for the listeners. We are launching a little series over the next, ooh, what are you looking at? We got 66 days until this event kicks off, and we have someone that is going to be running at the Osaka Marathon. And every 2 weeks, we're going to get them in for a chat about their build up. And it is our Run to PB coach, and we have Elise Beacom, 257 Marathon. I don't know, Chris, so you weren't involved in the interview. I know you listened to it, but I interviewed Elise a little while ago when she came on board as a Run to PB coach. And we're actually going to get a bit more of Elise time over the next couple of months. So excited to have you on the show this week for the first episode, Elise.
Yeah, Zacha, Crusoe, lovely to be here. I feel like it's the poor cousin of Road to Osaka, but if Santa has delivered, he's put coal in your stocking this year with me.
No,
It should be fun.
back by popular demand, Zacha was mentioning off air that your interview is probably one of our highest rated episodes that we've ever done. So this is episode 174, and you're right at the very top. So, mate, you're a media superstar, sort of your own Patreon series with For the Kudos. And spending a bit of time with us. So I think whilst yes, you did a bit of an introductory interview a little while ago now, I think the listeners are really going to enjoy hearing all the meaty details about this marathon prep as you get ready to head over to Osaka.
Yeah, it should be fun. And if I know anything about you guys now, is that you're good at pumping up my tires. So hopefully you'll give me a bit of confidence as the boost goes, as the build goes on.
You know, Chriso, when you've got a serious media performer, when they bring the podcast mic and we've got cord earphones. I don't even have a microphone at the moment, going speaker. And Elise has got this
Zaka.
serious setup. But yes, Elise, you were actually in Japan a few weeks ago, I believe. So doing a bit of a
Yeah.
recon.
Oh yeah. Well, actually didn't go to Osaka, but did a bit of recon of the country in general. And it was my first time in Japan. Absolutely loved it. Drank a few whiskeys, ate absolutely everything, including some exotic things like fish testicle, which was an experience. Didn't go back for the second one, but
I knew you'd have to carb load when you get over there.
Yeah, that's not sure how many carbs are in that, but plenty of rice and plenty of ramen and udon, and the people were just so amazing. Had a few good runs there. Didn't really train super properly just because we were on holidays, and there's only so much strain your relationship can take when you're on holidays and trying to sort of get ready for a marathon build, but did get a few long runs in, which was good.
Just back to your season. So we're rounding out, obviously, end of the year. You must be absolutely stoked with your year. You had two big PBs at the half and the marathon. So firstly, the marathon at Gold Coast, 2:57:12. I know we talked about that in your interview, but yeah, that was a massive, massive breakthrough run. And then backed it up in Melbourne with the half and 1:22. So I guess end of the year was a bit of a reset. Now, take us to, yeah, I guess the preparation and coming off that year, was it, was Japan your little break running wise?
Yeah, it was meant to be a break. I had a couple of other little PBs in there too. I actually PB'd across all of the distances, so I got a 10K and a 5 as well, which was amazing. You never know when your next PB is, so you've got to enjoy them while you can. Yeah, Japan was going to be a bit of a break, but I unfortunately got COVID just after the Melbourne half. Went to the after party, which turned out to be a super spreader event, and had an unscheduled bit of downtime there. And that's why when I was away, I did have to get a few Ks in. Otherwise, it might have been a rude shock to the system coming into marathon training now.
And things are just starting to build up, mate. Sort of last week was pretty solid on the training front.
Yeah, I think the last week was probably the first or the biggest week that I've had for a while. Managed to get in, I think, 107 Ks of running, a solid session midweek. I went to the gym, which was good and is always an achievement in itself. And then had a hard effort in my long run too. So kind of ticked all the boxes last week, which was probably the first week I've done that for a while. But yeah.
So
Yeah.
when you walk into the gym, you sort of, is it just with this, like a reckless abandoned glee that you're like, yes, I can't wait to be there, or you're like most other runners and you're kicking rocks and just thinking, oh, please make this go quick today.
Yeah, I honestly can't get out of there fast enough. But I know it's good for me, and my program's gotten a bit long now too. I feel like there's always things that get added. Nothing is ever taken away. And my physio's got me doing some really gnarly things, like skipping with a skipping rope on one leg, and jumping over things, hops and single leg tuck jumps, and all these kind of crazy plyos. So that's been really good fun, but I'm pull up pretty sore afterwards.
Do you foresee a short-term future in parkour events?
I haven't until now, but I might consider that over the New Year break.
Maybe post-marathon. Just it can be dangerous. I know Zaka was partly interested in it. Dano's been taking him through some parkour exercises in recent times. So it is things are
I'm
picking
not
up
up to
steam.
skipping yet. I'm just at the very elementary level. But yeah,
Oh.
parkour series could be something we could look into as well.
What's your go-to move, Zaka?
At the moment, it is yeah, it's a lot of balance work. Like I'm trying to get better at yeah, being able to stay on my feet and get a address some of the weak glutes issues that is been the downfall of a lot of my running issues, a lot of calf work at the moment. So, but yeah, it's funny you say that because I'm bloody spending ages in the gym, and I thought it would reduce, but when I get in there, it just seems the time just seems to it's a time sapper, and I'm not like I I'm not I'm actually, yeah, I'm diligent. Like, I'm not just scrolling on my phone. Like, I actually put my phone away and I can I see people on a cross
Few
trainer, like, they're
selfies.
actually just, yeah, they're fully like scrolling and just like just peddling their legs over. I'm like, you probably could just be on the couch doing that. But but I don't know. I much prefer to be. I've got some drills I'm doing as well. So, but hey, back to you. Your coaching, what, like, obviously, take us to that, because have you got a coach? I know we might have covered it in the interview, but where are you at with your plan this year and leading into Osaka?
Yeah, sorry, I do have a coach and his name's John Starrett, otherwise known as the Stable Master, which is what he likes to call himself. John's awesome. He has a group called Staz's Stable and he coaches people sort of 1500 up to ultras. But I would say his specialty is marathon. And his kind of vibe with the marathon training block is one big midweek session. And then the long run has some pretty long, grindy work in it. And basically, we use the goal marathon pace as the linchpin for everything. So at the moment, it'll start off being like in the long run, I'll have 22 Ks at 20 seconds slower than marathon pace. And then next week it might be 25 Ks with at 15 seconds slower than marathon pace. And then we slowly edge closer to marathon pace. And then when we get there, I end up doing some really long runs at marathon pace. So up to 30K at marathon pace with a, 4K or 3K warm up and a 3K cool down. So they're really tough mentally, those workouts, but I really do think they prepare you for the grind that you need to go through when you're in the race. So yeah, it's worked for me thus far.
And post Gold Coast, you got the map, you got the big PB. Debrief after that, obviously, exciting, but you think there's more in it, obviously, and you have, with your coach, have you addressed some things that you kind of want to focus on this block?
Definitely. We talked about, like, there were quite a few things that went well with the last block, like built some good consistency, sort of 90 to 105 Ks a week over like 13 weeks, but was mostly low 90s. Didn't need any time off for injuries or sickness, so that was really good. And got quite fit through racing a lot, like lots of cross country, which makes you strong, and 10Ks and half marathons as well. Practiced the carbs, and all of that went well. But then on the sort of flip side, some things that we identified for improvement were the shadow of the things I just said, which was I should race less. It was a bit over the top. I think the XCR season, it was the most fun thing I did all year. But I raced like 15 times this year. And as you know, when you've got a race, even if you don't really taper into it, you still lose a bit of quality training there. You get the benefit of the race, but then you need to recover a bit. And it also threw the long runs out quite a bit. So racing less this time, increasing mileage, I'd like to play with that a bit. And we've kind of agreed to, not take a big risk, but like at some point or another, you need to try and do a little bit more or something differently. So I'd love to stay above that 100K mark this time around and maybe edge up to that 120 sort of at peak mileage, but we'll just see how the body holds up. And it was
On
really
that.
hard to, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Did you double leading into Gold Coast? And do you double now?
I double like once a week and I have one full rest day. So I think I would add maybe one double. And then when the long runs get longer, I think I'll be pretty close to hitting that kind
Yeah.
of mileage, I think.
Good one.
Yeah. And I have a full rest day too, which I enjoy as well as a reset. And then more long runs too. I remember because of all the cross country madness
Yeah.
during this season, I remember looking at how many like 30K plus runs I'd done 6Ks out, 6 weeks out, and it wasn't many. I ended up doing five, but one of those was like squeezing a long warm down and long cool, like a long warm down on a race and stuff like that. So it was all a bit messy. Whereas, last week I got my first 30 plus K run in, and where that was 10 weeks out. So I feel like if I can get more of those long runs in, that'll probably be beneficial.
And do you foresee there being a nice little advantage of training throughout the summer before heading over to Osaka, where it's likely to be significantly cooler for the marathon?
Yeah, definitely. And I love training over summer too. It's just, life feels a little less hectic and nice weather. You need to get out early, but yeah, I really enjoy that. And definitely you feel much fitter when you're running in cooler climate after you've been training in some heat. So I think that'll be good. It'll be pretty cold though. So I don't know if there's a tipping point where it becomes, problematic if it's really different conditions to what you're used to, but yeah, technically it should be better doing it this way than the other way around.
Whilst they don't expect it to snow in February in Japan, it's not unheard of.
Great.
But in saying that, I know it's late Feb, but also late Feb here in Australia, and that's stating the obvious, but if it was 40 degrees on the weekend, it wouldn't shock you. So
Yeah,
yeah,
true.
like it is, it can be fairly extreme, the two differences. But I know we're like it's ages away. I mean, technically it's next year, they're next year's problems. But is it too early to talk about goals? I mean, it's 66 days away. And I know you've just mentioned that a lot of your long run stuff is with a specific pace in mind. But are you comfortable sharing what those goals are as you move towards Osaka?
Yeah, let's do it.
Put it out there. We can edit it back
What about
later.
it?
Yeah.
Honestly, I was thinking about this and I'm a chronic oversharer, right? So I'm sure I'll overshare a lot over the next weeks, over the next 66 days. But having a goal and putting it out there, it's all part of it, right? And at the end of the day, it's only running, and if you miss out, who cares really? I'm not, trying
We
to
do. We'll
qualify for
care.
the Olympics. Yeah, you'll care. You'll cancel me. But yeah, no, I would love to run a PB, but I would really love to get as close to 250 as I can. And that was a little kind of not a carrot, but it was a little morsel that my coach sort of dropped for me in the same breath as well done on finishing Gold Coast. And it was like, okay, now let's go after a 250 sort of thing. So I guess I've been anchored a little bit to that number. Whether that's possible or not, I don't know. And I did have this beautiful vision of being kind of fit and then going into marathon training, but got sick with COVID and stuff, but that's fine, that's life. So I'm gonna train with that in mind and then just see what happens over the next 66 days and whether to reassess if it's not looking realistic.
No, I like that, and we appreciate you putting it out there. Hey, just a couple of quick ones before we let you go. The group that you're training with, you've got assembled a bit of a crew that's going to help you out through this block. I know you've got a Torquay Run Club that came up on your Strava feed, so maybe some locals that that you hang out with and get a few runs in. What about your long runs? Are you going to have some partners that'll partners in crime for that as well?
Yeah, I hope so. Scotty Cracker, give him a shout out. He helped me out last week. Actually, it was pretty funny. This is a classic me story. But basically, we did a long run on the rail trail in Geelong on Sunday, and I had 22K at kind of 20 seconds slower than marathon pace. I ended up running slightly quicker, but they were going to do a loop, and then Scotty said, oh, we could change it to an out and back so that you can run out and then kind of catch us on the way back sort of thing. And so I was like, oh yeah, that's really good. I'd never run on that rail trail. I don't know how someone gets lost on an out and back, but I went back a different way and then managed to meet the group back at Landy at least, and did the last sort of 8K with Scott. But that was a bit embarrassing.
Bit of a tour of South Geelong by the looks of it.
Yeah, I know. I did. I went back in like sort of through this industrial area. Yeah, anyway, I'm still new to the hood, so I've got that as an excuse.
And one last one for me. What wheels do you have on for the long run? And I did see a super, but did I see Super Plus might have been mentioned as well throughout the week? Are they your go-to at the moment?
I've actually just been doing my long runs in Ghosts, Brooks Ghosts, and on the weekend I trained in the Triumphs, the Saucony. I really like that shoe, and I just got a pair of Super Blasts, so I've had two shorter runs in them. I'm kind of breaking them in a little bit before trying them out on a long run, but I like what I feel so far. So yeah, I think they will probably be the shoe, and might be a bit nicer to have something a bit more poppy for those efforts as well.
Yeah.
And this is purely for my own selfishness because I'm interested in the Super Blast too. How do the Super Blasts compare to the Triumphs?
They feel, a bit more poppy, a bit more cushioned. The Triumphs feel a bit firmer, I think, but I do have to probably try the Super Blast on a longer run to do a true comparison. But I really do love the Triumphs. I've had like three or four pairs, I think. They're such a durable shoe as well. They last for ages.
They are. This is not a sponsored comment. I love those shoes.
Do you?
I've got one pair of most recent update, and I had a couple of pairs of, I think it was the 21s, and just love them. Just, yeah, nice sort of responsive, easy day shoe with no plate, which is great. But yeah, I've heard great things about the Super Blast. I just haven't been brave enough to buy them. And yeah, anyway.
I think there's a few kicking around. Zach is a Super Blast fan, I think.
He is.
Yeah, I am a bit of a
and a cloud monster.
Happy. Yeah, anything that makes me a bit taller, I'm happy.
Oh, same. Maybe that's why I like them.
Hey, we will let you go for this week, and then in a couple of weeks we're going to have you back on. There's going to be a few, obviously a few sessions go down in between then. Have you got anything that has come up on the training calendar that's almost made you a little nervous, or you're all good with what you've got ahead?
I get my training like weekly, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing to not know what's coming. So every Sunday night or Monday morning, because my coach is based overseas, it's like Christmas and opening up my training for the week. So, and next Monday will be Christmas.
It will be
oh my
Christmas.
God, that was such a dad joke. I'm so sorry.
Good stuff. No, I think the listeners are going to really enjoy this journey, because there is a number of athletes that are also pursuing marathon goals. They'll get an insight into, obviously we're going to also touch on some of some of your athletes on how they're going. So we'll have a little bit of a chance when we've got a bit more time next episode to hear about that. So yeah, it's going to be a good series.
Awesome. Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I think we're spoiled. I was just saying to you, Zaka, that, you know, with me usually stuttering and fumbling around with my words, and at least just makes it look easy. So I think my days are numbered.
Might be out of a job. Hey, mate, the Christmas presents keep on coming for you, because I've actually organised a little special guest to jump in for a few minutes, and he's on the line. He's ready to wish you a Merry Christmas and give a bit of an update on his running.
We are long overdue to catch up with this man. Matty Davey, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Chris. Good. Thanks, Zaka. Good to be back on. It has been a little while, and I was lucky enough to get a message from Zaka during the day and see if I was available to jump on tonight. And here we are. So yeah, it's good to be back.
Some of the loyal listeners from over the years would appreciate hearing your dulcet tones, mate.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but it's been great listening to you guys, and getting all the Run to PB guests on. It's been fantastic listening on sort of I usually get to it on a Thursday or a Friday run. And listen in on all the stories that you get to and the fantastic questions that you got rolling through there, Chris.
Also, mate, it's good to have you on, because it gives you a chance to address some of the slander that's been thrown your way in recent times by another member of your household, and it hasn't come from Ollie. Looking forward to getting your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, probably some of them are fair enough, actually.
Hey, mate, we got you on also to end of the year. You've had an amazing year as a coach. You've had success with Gemma, but also a lot of your Run to PB athletes are in big demand as a coach, but also yourself, running wise, you've had a pretty good year. How would you assess it from your own, I guess, maybe running wise, firstly?
Yeah, I took a bit of a backseat on the running, with Gemma's focus on Melbourne, on the Melbourne Marathon. I've still been sort of plugging away a bit. But as well as that, I had a knee arthroscope back in July. So that put me back a little bit. So it took 4.5 weeks off, I think it was, in the end, and then slowly came back off that. I haven't really been, I guess, focusing too much on any big races throughout the year, just more running for the enjoy of it. And then occasionally jumping into a race, like I did the wellness run a few weeks back, just to sort of test the fitness. And it was good to get back out and have a bit of a race. What's that, Zach?
You got on the podium there, mate. So not a bad way to get back into it. Hey, how many Ks did you end up with the year?
I think it was lucky that Zatopek was the night before and not many others really turned up. So, how many Ks was that?
Looking at your, I think about over 4,000 Ks still this year.
Yeah, that's, yeah, yep, yep.
So,
to be honest, I've never really tracked my overall Ks over the years, so I don't know how that compares. But I imagine it wouldn't be as high as what it has been. Mm. Yeah. But no, the knee arthroscope put me back, and then I got COVID at one point, and that sort of knocked me back another couple of weeks. And then when Ollie got sick as well, sort of knocked back a bit more time there. So coming back from the knee arthroscope was probably a bit longer of a process in the end than what was originally sort of planned. But and my knee had been getting a little bit sore too. I'm not exactly sure why. I think it was just a bit more swelling still there. And it didn't seem to be any rhyme or reason as to why it would get sore. Like some days it'd get sore and some days it'd be fine. But probably the last 2.5 weeks, it's been really good. So it's, that's probably been pretty positive. And I'm looking forward to getting into 2024 and hopefully targeting a few more races. I'll still be taking the backseat while Gemma focuses on Osaka Marathon.
Have you got the exclusive last week?
Is there anything that you've got locked in for next year that you really want to do, mate? I mean, obviously the first couple of months, Gemma's going to be building up pretty extensively for Osaka, but Yeah. Is there anything that you really, really want to do, or are you just going to sort of take it a month at a time and see how the body's traveling?
Yeah, probably more of that. They're taking a month of time, mainly just because I'm not sure if my knee's going to be able to handle the load to try to run a fast marathon. And even get that distance out. So it's more gradually building up, and then with a potential goal of doing Gold Coast Marathon or Melbourne. But yeah, again, it all depends on how my knee sort of feels when I start lifting the volume. So I've been averaging probably just under 100 Ks for a little while now. And yeah, it's finally coming good, and I'm going to try to sort of lift it up over the school holidays, you know, because teachers get, you know, 12, 13 weeks a year holidays. So we've got plenty of time now to make the most of it.
Slide that one in there. Hey, over the weekend, I know you averaged the last 4 weeks, like you said, you got going, you've hit 90K plus, and got a chance to jump into a park run, and a cracking photo came across our desks post park run with you and a couple of other Run to BB athletes that you coach, and Ollie. Ollie, I guess, is the Run to BB future pick.
He's on the junior program at the moment.
Yeah. But that must have been really cool to go to park run with some of your athletes. And Gemma did tell me that you haven't stopped talking about the win that you got down there in the park run. But how did that all go down?
Yeah, no, that was really good. So yeah, plugged it in for both Clay and Zach. Came down for the run. Zach, obviously past guest. He was flipping pizzas until about midnight the night before, I think. So it was great to see them and do warm up and warm down and such, and see them come across the line and looking strong, and both having they didn't run PBs, but we weren't sort of aiming to get down to the PBs, just more of a bit of a hit out for both of them to see how they're going. And yeah, they both had some really, really impressive runs. Both ran real consistent, even though it was pretty blowy out there. So it was a good run from those guys, and yeah, it's just great fun to get down to a park run and make the most of that sort of an event that's just around the corner. Ollie definitely loves getting some attention. So I think he gets more attention than most people around there, actually, to be honest.
Sorry, Chris, there was one more. The long run, you guys get to jump in together. Looks like Zach's been going around. You got a few other Run to BB athletes that are joining you on those long runs?
So we got Aaron, who's running around there. So we've got a couple that definitely come down, and obviously Zach, and we've got Clay and Reese comes down, and Stacey as well. So it's building a good group. I ran solo there on the Sunday. It was the first time actually that I'd gone up around the hills, because it sort of was a bit of a it gives the knee a fair bit of stress. And I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but it seemed to handle it okay. And then Gemma went after me. So it looks like we've got a bit of a group coming down on Sunday as well. I think one of Andy Buchanan's athletes, actually. Jonathan.
Star, Johnny Squires in town.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good. Getting a few other messages from people who are keen to jump in and explore the sport, God's country.
So that numbers wise with Ninja Track Club, mate, how's things progressing along there? Is sort of things building up?
It's built up from sort of just a small little message group to a lot of people being added. And I guess the best thing, it's not really, there's a lot of different people coming from different groups as well, just to meet up for some runs. And I think we had about 20 or 22 at the Mornington Track on Thursday night a couple of weeks ago. Wow. Some big groups sort of starting to form and people joining up for other sessions as well during the week, and that long run is great. Like I haven't jumped in with the long run because Gemma's been been sort of focusing on it, and and get in there. And I've come up there a couple of times with Ollie, and yeah, all was from one person rocks up to then all of a sudden you got 15 people there. And yeah, it makes for a great Sunday morning.
Do you think there's a link there between the rise in numbers and the fresh kit that you've just released? Because it looks fantastic.
Yeah, there was quite a few votes were had, and a lot of chopping and changing around the the Guernsey that we've got there. So yeah, it probably has brought a bit of show, and yeah, people have got on board with the singlets and the t-shirts and long sleeve. Yeah, and they're a good fit too. So yeah.
So I thought I might have spied an inch trap club top getting around Zatopek.
Yeah, yeah. Kate Mason. Yeah, so she had a great run at Zatopek. Yeah, so she wore it out there. So it was good to yeah see.
Mate, getting the brand out there. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if there was any Surf Coast Track Club out there.
No, I don't think there was.
No,
must be down at the beach.
Yeah, that's right, in the wave somewhere.
Hey, before we let you go, any rebuttal on some of your athletes that have called you out, said you've set some hard sessions, and they've kind of, you know, said, hey, that was a bloody tough session, Matt, and you just give it the ha-ha. Have you been getting a bit more abuse your way for something you've been setting?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But I think it's one of the things I feel like I'm quite good at is knowing where my athletes are at and what they're capable of and the sort of paces that I think they can achieve and not always do I want to try to press and get them to a point where they're worried about a session and anxious about it. I don't want to be doing that all the time, but I think occasionally it's a good thing to set that sort of a challenge and raise the bar and yeah, when they can come out and achieve that, it just gets their confidence so high and I think it's something that I think is something that I feel like I'm pretty good at and get a good read as to where athletes are at in terms of how they're feeling, like, yeah, just, you know, even just based on some of the message and stuff, you know, you can sometimes see changes in them and you're like, yeah, I reckon they're a bit tired. You know, you're not getting much feedback back here. You know, I reckon they might be pretty caught up over Christmas or something and you're not hearing from them as much as what you normally would. So it's a good chance that they're a bit more tired. So maybe don't try to press the sessions too much and pull them back a little bit. I don't mind giving a few ha ha ha's out there though.
Good point you make. I think we scheduled to chat about this later, Chris, but like I think you've just hit the nail on the head around that Christmas break, and we've seen crews and groups and health professionals or like influencers are pushing for people to try and, you know, go out and run their fastest K, you know, doing the biggest mileage or having a crack at 100K between now and Christmas. It's like, this is probably, Christmas and New Year, this is the time. I know my athletes, I sort of check in and say, hey, you know, what's happening over Christmas? Because a lot of people, they're flat out, or they've got family and they're like, you know, that's the worst time for them to be pushing. So I think, getting that understanding with that this time of the year, there is a lot of stress going around and it's not a bad time to throw in a couple of extra rest days and just come into the new year refreshed rather than absolutely drained.
Yeah, it's such a good point. And I know I've got, a couple of athletes that are looking at, they've got the 100-mile race coming up at Tarawera in New Zealand. Mm. And, it's just trying to balance that amount of stress that this time of the year can really bring about with the training that needs to be done and just chatting to them about ensuring, like, I know that a couple of them got, running it up in Queensland at the moment, and the heat and the humidity up there has been insane. And yeah. I think it was a couple of days ago, I think every one of my runners up in Queensland messaged me in there after their session saying that was challenging just due to purely that heat and humidity, and the heart rates were going through the roof. And yeah, it's just making sure that they're they're keeping on top of their recovery off that, and whether that be making sure to get the nutrition and try to get as much sleep as possible. But you're absolutely right, it's such a challenge. It can be such a challenge at this time of year, and probably trying to set weekly mileage PBs leading into Christmas. I mean, you've probably got a bit more food there, maybe a couple more lint balls that you've been having. But,
it's not
favourites and such. But it's probably not the ideal time to be trying to hit that.
Yeah,
and you think about that week between Christmas and New Year can, for a lot of people, be the first time off that they've had away from work for months, and that's like some really valuable downtime. And I would have thought the last thing you want to do is absolutely flame yourself running more kilometers than normal. And then by the time you head back to work, you're absolutely exhausted from what was meant to be a downtime period. So you don't really ever sort of get out of that almost burnout cycle. You've gone home to do a number on yourself, head back into work and think, shit, I've got to wait another 6 months before I get any time away again. So I've said a couple of things and it's just done my head in saying that. It's pissed me off, if I'm being completely honest. But I just don't. I was going to flip the desk. Bloody hell. I get it. And some people, everyone's situation's different. But I don't know. It just annoys me that that's the sort of thing. This is David Goggins bulletin board type shit material. And he's an inspirational man in some circles of the world. But you got to be hard. I think it's bullshit. Anyway,
we've got him fired up. Mate, we got to let you go. I know you got to get back to some duties around the house. I think Gemma's got a list long, a very long list of things for you to be doing before Christmas. But we appreciate you jumping on again. And in the new year, we'll get you back for a bit of a chat, no doubt about definitely leading into Osaka. We'll try and get you both both on for a chat, because it's going to be exciting watching that build up. And really appreciate you jumping on, mate.
Yep, no, thanks very much, guys. Thanks very much for that.
Saying, for the record, I think last time Gemma was on, she said that she had to put both you and Ollie to bed at 8 o'clock. It is now 8:20, and you're as bright as a button. But you're absolutely kicking goals. So slander about you falling asleep on the couch early most nights, I don't believe that at all.
No, 100%. Gemma's just gone to bed before, so 20 minutes ago. So,
and I'm still up. So, more CR. Isn't she trying to get all the crowns and then comes back and says, I've just knocked off the crown around the new neck of the woods, and then you go out and take it back.
Yep. She hates when I get the local legend statuses as well. That's that's what I've been targeting a few of those, just to rub it in a little bit.
Love it. All right, mate.
Thanks very much, guys.
Chat new year.
Yep. Sounds good. Awesome. Have a good Christmas.
Hey, mate.
See you, mate. See you guys.
Risso, mate, I promise I don't have any more surprises, but how cool was that to hear Maddie's
call again? The great man, that was an unexpected surprise. That's up there with the time that you brought Brady on and surprised me when he just strolled through your lounge room. So always good to catch up with Mattress, and he's doing really well too. So,
given... like he talked about his year, and it's been a bit of a roller coaster from his own running wise, but the role he's had obviously as a new dad and then coaching at a serious level. I mean, all of his coaching is very serious, but that added pressure when you're coaching your partner, someone you're in the same household with, and then to the level that Gemma's gone to in winning Melbourne and now setting her sights on Osaka. It's there's a lot going on for Matt Davey. So
kicking goals for sure.
Hey, we recorded last Monday night, didn't we?
We did.
Like it's been a long time between drinks.
About a month, it feels like.
We did that for a reason, because you were going around on the Tuesday night at Bendigo in the 3,000 meter race, the little series that's been set up down there.
Mm-hmm.
and we were talking before that race how hot it was going to be and that you sort of just were going to get in there and assess the, just get it done, basically. That was the plan. Then I logged on to Strava and there was a meltdown. I couldn't even upload my run. Strava had been down, out of service, because there were so many likes and kudos and comments about what you'd gone and done in the heat. You'd run 10:09.
Yeah. I don't know if we quite melted down the server. I know reception's pretty bad over at Bendigo, like on the way back between Bendigo and Shep. So that might have had something to do with it. But 10:09, which on the surface, hey, it's, I ran 10:10 last time and I want to run sub 10, but it's only, I'm going to say only, it's a 1 second improvement. But I was a lot happier with this run because whilst I guess the time's the same, it just felt like a much stronger race given the conditions and the different challenges that there were. So to put it a little bit in perspective, first time I ran 10:10 and Rory Flanagan just gave me an armchair ride all around the track. He paced the whole way, did all the work, sat on the front, and I faded in that race. And I think it was only, it was about 27, 28 degrees and it was a bit windy. So like I think I closed that run in around sort of 82, 83 seconds for that last lap and could feel myself going backwards. Whereas this time, 10:09, but given how hot it was, I run the race solo. So I finished second and the guy that finished in front of me was a good 35 seconds. So he was way out in front when he was already probably 40 meters in front. And we got to the 200 meter mark and I went, oh, I wonder if he's gone out hard, that'll be really nice to have someone to chase. And then I just kept looking sideways to the opposite side of the track just to be able to see where he was up to. He just kept gapping me. But yeah, like it was solo, it was hot, and I felt like I was 35 and that's uncomfortable.
What time did you guys start at?
So started just about 10 past 7. Night. So the sun had started to dip a little bit, but hadn't gone down. So, but it was very still, which is most unlike Bendigo. Normally it's windy, but it was very still, but it, I don't know. It's hard to describe. It was almost like the air was, it was like it was stale. It was just hot and just gross. They had a, which was, this was really nice. And I think they'd banked on a bit of breeze, but they had like, you know, those misting machines you sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
For this one, the hose plugs in the bottom, so they couldn't run it across the track because you wouldn't want to get spikes in it or trip over it potentially. But because there was no breeze, the mist wasn't going anywhere. It was just kind of falling into the ground. Normally it would, you know, with the way that the wind normally blows at Bendigo, it would drift nicely onto the track and you'd get a bit of a refresher. So I remember standing in that prior to the race, and then I walked maybe 60 meters and I was bone dry again. So like it was just, it was almost surreal. Like I did the warm up.
Did they have drinks? I know it's a 3K, so it's rare to have a drink station out, but did they have anything like that going?
Nah, no drinks. Just very low key. I think I spoke last time about the big numbers that we had. I think it was 25 or 26 in my race last time. Well, there were three races this time, and we would have been lucky to have 26 across the three events. So numbers were a bit down in the warmer weather. Yeah, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
But we're out doing the warm-up, and I guess there's a set warm-up that I think most of the bats follow that are in the track. So I sort of followed that, and it's nice. It's along a sealed path through the bush there, plenty of shade. And I just remember feeling like, wow, I'm running in the shade. And I still feel like shit. What's this going to be like when I get out onto the track and I'm actually trying to put myself, you know, in a bit of discomfort? Like, what's this going to be like? And I really just didn't know because I guess most runs I do are early in the morning and it's not ever really that hot. I mean, I barely even run in direct sunlight, let alone hot conditions. But anyway, I made a bit of deal with myself that I just needed to try and get through the first 200 to 400 conservative just to see how I felt. And if I felt good, then we could push. And if I felt shit, well, so be it. I mean, there's no point going out at a pace that's unrealistic and then figuring that out sort of 1200 in and then not being able to finish. So the first 400 I ran in 84 seconds, which is 10:30 pace, which is pretty conservative on the track, but I actually got through that and felt okay. I was surprised. I was expecting my mouth to have gone dry and just feeling rubbish.
Lapped? Like, were you, how did you, just look down? You didn't have it set in your watch?
No. So they have a pretty flash timer clock at Bendigo, which is nice. And then I've just got my watch just on elapsed time. So had no idea what sort of case splits or what average pace, but I was pretty much able to check my splits every 200 if I wanted to. Okay. So, but yeah, got through that first 484 and then, okay, well, let's just lean on the gas a little bit and just see how that feels. And I think that conservative start was what really enabled me to try and be fairly consistent with a bit quicker pace over that next sort of 5 or 6 laps. So sort of brought that down to 80 to 81 initially, and then probably dropped to 81 to 82 over the last couple of laps. But I wore the Vaporflies this time instead of the spikes. And I just felt like I had a lot more to give in my quads this time. Now, I don't know if that's just because I've absorbed the race before and I felt a bit better, or because I started a bit more conservative. I don't know. I really don't know. So there's just, yeah, I just remember feeling that way. And I was able to close out in about 78 for this time, which I was really happy with. And then I finished, and anyone that's seen my Strava, and I don't expect anyone ever to have paid this much attention to detail, but I didn't stop my watch when I finished, and you can just see this little sideways stagger. It sort of waves around like a little snake towards the fence on the track. So it was about 20 seconds after I finished, I realized my watch was still going. So I stopped that, and I was thinking, I don't feel overly wonderful. This would be a really good time to go and sit down. So I went and sat down and just trying to compose myself a little bit. And there's a young boy, Tyler, who's also coached by Andy. Tyler's 13 and he ran 9:47 last time. And he'd been eating a couple of bits of KFC. And whilst he'd been watching me run, because his sister had been running in that race, and I think he sort of had a bit of a look at me and went, ooh, he doesn't look like he's feeling that well. And I look down, and you know, though, like when you're sweating that much, where it's not actually coming down in beads, it's like someone's tipped a bucket of water over you, and it's just sort of washing down. And so there's just like this lather all over me. I look down at my quads, and I'm covered in goosebumps. I don't feel real cold though. And I'm thinking,
not a doctor, but that's not a good sign.
not a doctor, but thinking that this isn't great. So, yeah, I did need to sit down for a little while. But yeah, thankfully I didn't spew or anything like that. But
I think you said last time you tasted your lung.
Yeah, I did. There was a bit of lung last time.
Was there lung tasting this time around?
I don't recall. And that's honest because I don't remember a lot. Other than that, yeah, just when I finished, everything just felt empty, as far as like I couldn't run any faster. I just wanted to go and sit down. I didn't feel like it wasn't like it, like I suppose it was like a 9, maybe like a 9.5 out of 10 in terms of full effort. Like I think there was a little bit I held back just as a precaution. But if it was like a genuine race and we're
10 people around you at the same pace.
And you're sort of like around that, hey, I want to go sub 10. And if I could close in 77 or 76, then I'll get it. I think that's probably when I would have gone, all right, let's just see what the body can do and really just launch. But I did finish. I really did want to keep my dignity this time. So
didn't take anyone out.
No, I didn't kick anyone. I didn't punch anyone. no casualties. I didn't have anyone swear at me, which was fantastic. Not that that happened last time, but I would have excused some of the young kids if they had had a crossword or two to say about me. But no, it was very satisfying. I think going over there, the fear was that it could just turn to complete rubbish and be a waste of time going over. But given how it panned out, and I guess the effort I was still able to run at in those temperatures, yeah, it was very much a worthwhile exercise to head over. And Andy was happy with how I went too, which was nice. So, yeah,
I reckon that's a big tick, given the conditions, given we're talking mid-December when this was. Mate, you're in a position now to kind of obviously go into Christmas, not train the light, not absolutely bury yourself over the next
week. No.
Cram it all the training like we were talking about before. But no, you're in a position now to come into Jan, and I guess you'll schedule in another crack at 3 and 5, or?
Yeah, not sure. We'll see. I think at this stage, the next thing that's locked in is the 5K Frenzy on the 9th of February on the Friday night, which sounds like a while away. But if I have a look here, I'll just bring this one
good
up.
Timing,
it's like 51 days. So it's not forever away, but it's close enough. There is a window there in, I guess, that third week of January that if I wanted to go and hit a park runner or even head across to Bendigo on a Tuesday, or maybe put a Shep Runners Club handicap on for a distance that would suit me. And I definitely could do that sort of around that window and still have enough time, I guess, to absorb it and then prep for a 5K. But, yeah.
The Frenzy is pretty well supported as well. So you should have a pretty well seated 5K. You know, you have still 4 people around you that you can tack on, work with, and hopefully run a fast one.
Yeah. I think, whilst I'd love to run fast at Bendigo, it's not the end of the world if it doesn't happen there. It's probably, I know that I've still got Box Hill up my sleeve towards the end of March, and obviously fond memories there. So, and it's just a good place to run. So I'm hoping.
For the burn.
Yeah. Box Hill Burns locked in for the 21st of March. So, yeah, it's probably, I just need to be conscious of.
You're on 10:09 now.
Mm.
In those conditions, you got a couple of months up your sleeve to really focus in on those 3s and 5s. And you're in a great spot.
I hope so, because I remember it's almost the same story both of these races. I know the weather's been not wonderful, and the first, like the one before, was the first hit out. But you're sort of coming away thinking, what I ran tonight, I want to do for another 2 kilometres, and I would have been lucky to run another 200 metres tonight. So, there's a lot of work to do, but I know that, you know, these are the sorts of things that you've got to go and do and chip away at. You don't just, you know, work for 6 weeks and hit an ambitious goal. Like, it's just, life doesn't work like that. So, happy with where I'm at. And, hey, I mean, look, to be honest, it's nice just to be injury free and still stacking injury weeks. It's a bit of an obscure distance, the 15K at Ballarat. And I guess technically that's a PB, but when you've only raced it a handful of times, you know, whether it counts or not, but this has probably been one of the most enjoyable and successful years of running that I've had, because I've pretty much gone, you know, unless something dumb happens in the next 10 days, I've gone the full year without an injury, and I've run the most Ks I've ever run in my life. And I can't really think of a stretch at all throughout this year where I've felt burnt out or where I've really put my hand up for a break. I mean, at least mentioned before, it's probably the most she's ever raced. And for me, that's very similar, because I've done nearly all the AV events minus some of the relays, and that's just due because I'm not fast enough. Because the kids are too quick, they don't need me. But between that and going to Gold Coast, and then a couple of park runs scattered throughout the year, and it's been a busy year race wise. Because normally I probably wouldn't race any more than 4 or 5 times for the year. And we're up over.
You put yourself out there with the racing,
which I've loved. I really have, and that's probably one of the reasons why. Like, traditionally, I go and run a marathon. you know, which would normally be at Melbourne, but the continuity of the consistent weeks and the cross country and all of that, like that's to me has been more enjoyable than just having that big race goal at the end of the year, which is sort of putting all your eggs in that basket. Like for me to be able to spread that out and run more consistently, and yeah, it's been bloody awesome. So yeah, I feel like I've learned some stuff this year. It's been good.
If anyone wants to jump on Chris Ostrava, you just see the great wall of blue, the great wall of great wall of Shepparton, maybe. I don't know what it is, but it is just blue bars right across the board, no dips. It is super consistent. Yeah, because people talk about the skyscrapers. It's like it's a city that's just got the same building right across the same.
It's a fairly boring city. There's not a lot of difference in many of the buildings, but they all look okay, which is nice.
Couple of down ones in there, which you've obviously come off a block, had a little bit of a down week, and then back up. But it's impressive, mate. I reckon you've hit 3,000, and according to here, 3,800 so far.
Yeah, so
307 hours of running. Just so you know how long you've been out there toiling away.
Yeah, and I was gonna say I'll probably put more dedicated hours into my running than I have at my place of employment. Whilst I do turn up to work on a consistent basis, there are those that may say that I don't necessarily put a lot of effort in. So,
no. Go workers.
Yeah, bless them.
it's all in the right direction, mate. And I did see one final thing is it was a sneaky photo of you out doing a pacing job in a very good kit. Had the... would we call it spearmint Nike, head to toe in Nike, I reckon, apart from the socks. I think you might have some, are they the shoey socks?
Yeah, got the shoe socks on, which is sort of like de facto Nike socks anyway, because they do make socks specifically for the super shoes. So, it was a bit of a surprise. Nora wanted to have a go at parkrun, and as a bit of a belated birthday present, thought I'd pop down there and try and do the nice thing and pace it to a PB. And Nora's gotten quite good at a pacing, but sadly this time she got out of the blocks a bit quick, and she'd already I think Brady had been in her ear. She went and banked a bit of time early, and she put a good 40 to 50 meters into me in the first minute or so, and she was
into
that
the
far
pacer.
Yeah, into the pacer. And she was that far ahead, I couldn't really call out the slowdown. So, but she only missed out on a PB by about 3 seconds. But she ran a 1K PB or first 400 PB, which I think she was stoked with. But it was a good thing for her to experience again, where I know that she'll be a little bit more respectful of the distance next time, where she got a bit tired in that sort of third or fourth K and it really hurt. And while she finished strongly, she knows that she runs better when she's a bit more conservative at the start and can then progressively get quicker. So, yeah, but it was good. It was good. We didn't say a lot to one another. There were people running past trying to talk. Nora's not very chatty when she races. She's quite an intense competitor. When she's doing an easy run, she's very, very sparky, but when it's race time, she focuses in and
I'm a fan of that. I don't think
she gets a bit fiery, but there was a couple of guys that ran past and sort of like, hey Nora, how you going? What are you going for today? And just gave them zero. Yeah. Literally nothing. So she was in the zone. It was quite funny, but I think she ended up running at 22:56, I think. So hopefully she'd love to get into that sort of 22:30 something range at parkrun, and there's some whispers going around the house that perhaps she'd like to try a race on the track at some point. So watch this space on that one.
Well, we'll wait for that exclusive to drop. And you get in trouble for dropping it.
I think I haven't been belted as yet. Only that she might have gone outside to water the plants.
Might have been an alpha fly just come across the
screen. Yeah, no, I was watching my shoes going to the bin now as we speak. but yeah, no, so all good. What about yourself, mate? I heard you caught up with a bit of run to PB royalty over the weekend.
I did. I got in a couple of sessions. I did do a session on. It's funny when you did your race. I stupidly had committed to doing a workout, and then it was like, yeah, it's hot. But then I thought, well, Christo's out there doing a race, so I can't jerk at this. So I did 4x5 minutes with a 90-second recovery that night. And I reckon the cool change was in Melbourne. So I was still absolutely just gone from that. Like, I had a good session, but I was also thinking mid-rep, like, geez, I'm getting a break here for 90 seconds, whereas Chris is out there talking away from the race. So, yeah, got that in. Then I was into a threshold on Saturday. We ran Albert Park. So, yeah, it was good to do an extended, like, I've done a lot of work where I've been doing breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having recoveries, or I've been stepping down. So I've been doing, like, you know, 8-7-6 or, some 1K reps had the other week. And so it was good to just do a continuous effort and get used to the roller coaster that is in when you do those kind of runs, where, like, at the start, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, I was like, that started making excuses in my head. Oh, you know, I'm tired. I'm still feeling the rest of the end of the week. You know, I just couldn't get on. And then I looked at the watch. I was like, oh, I'm actually still going okay here. And then sort of found that as the longer it went, better I felt. Last few minutes definitely was still working. But I think that's just a sign as you're getting a bit fitter that, yeah, in the middle, you can actually start to I guess, push along a little bit. And there was a bit of the wind on the back of Albert Bowler front. Oh, front straight, I guess, of Old Park, where knew it was coming, and it was almost like you ready yourself for it, and for me, it was like Al was saying, well, you're moving better into the wind, so I guess I compensated for it and kind of thought, okay, this is the time I got to lock in. So yeah, it was good. I was like around 3:40s, 3:41s for the nice 25 minutes, and yep. Even, you know, I was running 3:30s on the track doing 1K reps. So to jump on the road and start running 3:40s and, you know, towards the end. And I was still felt like I was still in control. Like, last K was 3:35 and I was still like, you know, it wasn't, form was still there. I was a bit tired, but it felt pretty good. So that was a good sign into a longer run. Like, ended up doing a loop. Just got extended. Oh, this timing when you sort of start early. I started with Al, and then the group tacked onto the group, went a little bit longer than I planned. So I got Al 36 out. So that was the longest long run I've done for, 6 months. So to do that off a session and off the 4x5 minutes, it was probably one of my better weeks for months in terms of overall training. I didn't do as much. I think I took one of the gym sessions out. Just with work and everything, I needed an extra day in there. So, yeah, good signs backed up this week with, we're recording here on Wednesday, just session last night, death roll, full fart leg. And then that came out just okay. I'm still finding now that, you know, as I've now firmly into those two sessions a week, one's just going okay. And then the Saturday one seems to be a lot better. And I think it's just a sign of conditioning is still kind of catching up, whereas, you know, I think you recall when I got back into just sessions, that one session was feeling just okay.
Yeah,
it's kind of getting one okay and then one good, so soon it'll be back to at least two feeling a bit stronger. And, you know, as I get that run to 90 minutes, I think that's a big thing for me, is sort of, you know, hitting our runs, push out that midweek run a little bit, but also having, yeah, two sessions at a 90-minute long run. I think I need, you know, if I get 4 to 6 weeks where I'm doing that and into the 80 to 90K weeks, then things will start to really turn the corner for me, I think.
Oh, mate, I reckon that's such a good week on so many different levels. I mean, a bit of VO2 max work in there coupled with your threshold, and the fact that you're getting into your threshold and it's feeling strong, that you're not sort of, well, I know what threshold's meant to look like, but I'd love to run this pace for it.
Yeah.
Like not getting caught up in it, particularly in windy conditions, and the fact that it feels strong. The other thing I really liked about your week is that you listened to your body and you just dropped a gym session so that you could get that extra rest. And I reckon doing that is one of the things that actually helped you feel better on the weekend, because you imagine you sort of sacrifice that little bit of extra sleep while work's busy. You go to the gym because it's on the plan. You go and do that. And then by the time Saturday rolls around, and that's after a pretty hot Tuesday, you're just flat by the time the weekend rolls around. So, not very smart. I like that.
Yeah, I think Tuesday and Wednesday were hot. So, there were two runs in a row where you're just like, okay, I've worked hard on the Tuesday, or maybe it was Monday. But, yeah, I actually felt it, you know, later in the week. So, yeah, and then, just got back earlier from a run with past guest of the show, one of Brady's athletes, Benji Hoppett. It was awesome to meet up with Benji. He's in town doing some work with Cricket New South Wales. And, yeah, we did a bit of a tour around the town. It's actually his first time around the town, and had a couple of the other guys. So met Al, he met Coach Dave P. Kiwi Steve was in attendance. And, yeah, look, Benji... Man, I think he had the handbrake on, but he's on the front and just smooth mover. Like, I know I've seen his times, I've seen his progress, because he's really, hasn't really seriously been running for a few years. He's sort of COVID-ish runner, and then into the coaching with Brady. And we talked about, he's got some big plans for 2024, looking at Gold Coast Marathon. But it was really cool to, obviously, we got a chance to interview Benji a little while ago, and to get a run in together, it was really fun.
No, he's been traveling here, there, and everywhere lately.
Yeah, just saying it. It was over in Mumbai doing a few. Got to go outside this time and do some runs. I know he last time pre Boston, I think he had a few sessions in the treadmill, and it is cool when you get a chance to run with some run to PB athletes. And mate, he's seen kicking goals, and there's a lot ahead for him, because, 24, 25, he's just, full beans. And, it's going to be really cool to see his progress.
Yeah, looking forward to it. As you said, big plans in store.
Sure. Hey, Chris, before we wrap up, a little bit of a couple of announcements that have come across our desk.
Both very exciting.
Yeah, well... Ernie Old Pop-Up. So, this is Simon Haas, who's a bit of Ernie Old. He's got the pop-up happening, mate.
Mate, I'm very excited for this. It's a shame I'm not down in Melbourne. Otherwise, those savings that I've been carefully working on would take a big hit in that week between Christmas and New Year. But Thursday the 28th to Saturday the 30th, those that are down around in Melbourne and familiar with the Collingwood area, 14 Langridge Street. You can pop your way down there from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and you can help you, some exclusive new product, which is about to go out, but also some discounts on discontinued product.
Yeah.
Bit of photography works. I've also heard that there's going to be beers and a few other surprises as well.
Yeah, there is. I've heard there could be a potentially a bit of a shop run happening as well, that may include some refreshments afterwards. So, awesome Melbourne brand to support, and a lot of their product. I mean, you have obviously been wearing their product. I see a lot around the town. Like, it's really cool. You see people just rolling around along the Yarra Trail here. I often see people, just rolling around in Ernie Old kit, and it's great, great to see. And I don't know if you've done workouts in it, Chriso, but it really stands up when you're doing a workout.
I absolutely have. I love it. It is the most comfortable kit I've ever worn. I'm a big fan of the Nike kit as well, the Aeroswift singlets, but this is every bit as good. I reckon it's lighter material, and have not had a single problem with it at all in the heat. So Although I must have, I should have wore a singlet on Saturday for my long run because I do have a couple of Ernie Odd singlets, but I wore one of the t-shirts, and whilst that did a very good job, when it's 20 degrees, well, actually it wasn't that hot, it was about 15, but yeah, it was definitely singlet weather. But no, the t-shirt and the long sleeves in winter, I yeah, know it's, we're the furthest point from winter, but it's just a nice blend of warmth, but you don't overheat in them as well. So I tell you what, if there's a chance to pick up some discounts on the stuff there from the guys, that's the sort of thing I'd be queuing up for at the Boxing Day sales.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a couple of days of shopping heaven down there for Ernie Old fans.
I think also a friend of the show, Connor Dillon, had a question as well. Wanted to know if you'll be down there signing autographs, mate. I know you've been a recent feature again in some of the socials that have popped up for Ernie Old, with some of the kids. Yeah. So we
it's up there from Connor and bloody picture they've been used up to chat to Simon about this. Where I'm attempting to stretch, you know, whenever that photo comes in, I just get 10 messages from people saying, you are not that flexible. You don't stretch. We know how well I move now or don't move that well. So they can tell it's definitely a pose because it's not something I would do.
So it's got a bit of John Travolta out of Greece, that sort of dance pose.
I'll definitely won't be signing.
if friends of the show and Ernie Old are to come along and purchase something, is there a chance maybe they can strike a pose with you and get a photo? I know there's going to be a bit of photography there.
We're trying to get people to come along to this.
Well, I
taking think people away from it.
If there's a prospect that Connor could get a photo with you doing a bit of the John Travolta, I think that would definitely...
I'd be keen to get a photo of Connor if he just stopped running. He just he's out there just absolutely pounding the pavement. And listeners who have been with us for a long time will remember that Connor famously or infamously rolled around the MCG. I believe he did 50K around the MCG, just rolling laps in the midst of or back of COVID. I think he did about 50K at the 2K of the 2K loop at the Yarra Trail. So I'm sure Connor's enjoying the freedom of running in some various different locations now. I often see him out at the Yarra Flats just hammering away. So yes, shout out to Connor and that stitch up from him. Hey, and last bit of news before we wrap it up, a bit more lighthearted, and it's not a Better With Running podcast unless we get a Matty Morgan or a Paul Reason reference in, but this is huge news, mate. That's going down in the middle of January, and we've managed to secure the rights to a press conference before this big event. It's both of them down the Tassie legends of Run to BB, Matty Morgan and Paul Reason have agreed to go head to head at the night of 5K down in Hobart. The Knockoffs Run Club, I believe, are organising this one. And Matty Morgan travelling from Lonnie to take on Paul. And his hometown, it's going to be, a big one. Maybe we need to live stream this one, Chris, though.
I think this is probably the sort of thing, you know, when pay-per-view content was thought of initially, these are the sorts of clashes that were in mind. You know, you think you Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, you know, those sort of things. Mate, if this isn't picked up by FlowTrack, I don't know what will. Yeah. So I think the fact that we've been able to secure the rights to the press conference is big for our fledgling show. So hopefully early January, which isn't that far away, Maddie and Paul are going to come on together, and we know that both those boys don't hold back. It's a very friendly rivalry that they have, but to get them on at the same time, we might need someone like a James Telford to be an adjudicator that night. I know Telford would jump at the chance to be on at the same time as the boys, but Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to this. I've already got it circled in my calendar. If there is a live stream, I'll be sitting down to that one. But, mate, North versus South, Tassie, we know that that's an intense rivalry in itself. I'd love for Maddie and Paul to explain that to the listeners, because the people of Tassie, they know about this rivalry. But Hobart versus Launceston, North versus South, it's pretty intense. So yeah.
Maddie's already thrown out a bit of chat about Paul's just not the, like, Matt's still getting out at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. It's been a couple of days where Paul hasn't got out that early. He's not as blue collar as he probably used to be. So it's a little bit of chat about that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Matty Morgan has never been on a track before. He actually said in a message, "I've literally never stepped on a track." So he's really going outside of his comfort zone. And down in Lonnie, unfortunately, it's not easy. I messaged Josh Harris. I said, "Can we get access onto the track just for a bit of a couple of sessions?" He said, "No, that is like a DMZ zone sort of thing." You thought Sheppenham was tough. This place had a wire just all around it. You cannot get it. I think he's scoped out a local footy oval to maybe do some reps on, and we're going to do a few sessions. So it'll be very interesting as that build up continues. And
we'll
update the listeners. No doubt they're on the edge of their seat for this rivalry.
Maddie really coming into this as a blue collar underdog. Which, we all like to support an underdog, so we'll certainly be doing everything we can to pump Maddie up. But how blessed are we? We've got Elise coming on once a fortnight to give us a rundown on the Osaka Marathon build, and then we've got Maddie and Paul going toe to toe, 5K on the track. To sort of settle a few scores for amongst the knockoffs group. So. Yeah, mate, spoiled for content here. I mean, if we're ever going to have a Patreon channel, now's the time.
Yeah, cash in. On that note, mate, I think we should wind it up. If there's anyone still listening, thank you.
Yeah, no. If there is, and you have made it this far, wishing you all a Merry Christmas. It is that time of the year, and hopefully you all get to spend some quality time with those that you care about and doing the things that you love. And if that happens to be running bulk kilometers, then that's okay too. But hopefully it's just a nice, relaxing time where you get to, just unwind and do some fun stuff before things kick back into gear next year, which is, all of what, 10 days away.
Love it, mate. Nah, well said. And we will be back next week, though, and it'll be we'll be in the midst of the cricket test, mate. We might have an update.
We will. we haven't got a lot of plans next week for next week's show. So bear with. We'd love to say that we've got an exciting guest. We don't. It might just be us. We might be able to get Santa Claus himself.
Yeah.
Post deliveries to come on and give us a rundown on how it all went, but I'm sure we will come up with something between now and then. Also leading into the Ernie Old pop-up, there could be some more details on that as well. So if Connor's listening, stay tuned. We may have an update.
Love it. All right, mate, you have a good break, and we will chat next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, mate.
Yeah.